If you're listening to the show as we go to air on Friday, it is in fact International Youth Day. So quite a timely milestone to talk about our next topic with our next guest. Now, her name is Professor Judith Bassant, AM. She is from RMIT University down in Melbourne. Judith, interested to note some of your recent commentary around lowering the voting age. You're saying here that in reducing the voting age to 16 would bring a whole range of benefits. Talk to us, Judith, about your thoughts on what would those benefits be.
Well, I think many of the benefits can be seen by looking back in history to see what happened when enfranchisement was extended to working class men, and then dare I say to women and Indigenous people. It enriched the democratic culture and our society generally. And the same can be seen, I mean, was in the 1960s and early 70s, voting age was 21, was then reduced to 18. So I think the more inclusive you are of citizens living the society, the more, you know, rich and diverse and democratic it is.
And I think, you know, people make the point that at 16 you can drive, you can work, you can enlist in the army, but you can't vote. So it's almost like we treat 16-year-olds as adults in some of those other respects, but not when it comes to voting.
Absolutely. And they also pay taxes as well.
Mm. One of the arguments, I guess, against it is that it would benefit certain side of politics. The Greens in the ACT and New South Wales have in fact put forward bills to reduce that voting age to 16. Your thoughts on, traditionally, if you're younger, you know, you perhaps tend to vote towards the left and perhaps become a little more conservative sometimes as you grow older. Your thoughts on, I mean, does it favour one side of politics over the other?
I think in some contexts, you know, young people have voted for Labor, but not always. I mean, young people are a homogenous group, not a homogenous group. You know, you've got many young people who've got quite sort of ultra-right political interests, for example. But is that a reason for not including people because you're fearful of, you know, the way in which they're going to vote? I think that tells us something about obstacles that are in the way of, you know, passing bills that would lower the voting age. People perhaps are fearful of that.
What about looking globally, Judith? Are there other countries or jurisdictions that have lowered it to the age of 16?
Yeah, there are a lot. And, you know, like I said, it was in the 1970s that voting was about 21, the age was 21. And then, you know, in 1973, it was reduced to 18 under the Whitlam government. And that was followed, you know, in the United States and Germany, Canada, right across the board. And then in the early, this millennium, we saw another shift where we saw many countries, like many German states, Switzerland, Brazil, Malta, Norway, the Philippines, a lot of places that have reduced the voting age to 16 or 17.
Bill Shorten, the former Labor leader, had talked about doing just that a few years ago. What's the reality here, though? I mean, can you actually ever see it happening? The Greens are, you know, fine to put up bills in their respective state or territory parliaments, but, I mean, is it ever going to be a reality?
I think it is. A couple of weeks ago, an old bill that was introduced in 2018 by Senator Jordan Steele John to reduce the voting age lapsed because at the end of Parliament, and so it has been restored. So it's back on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And the thing about, you know, there's a difference between 2018 and now, lots of things, but one of them is that we've got a different government and we've also got more Greens and Independents. So it could be that the time is soon.
Very interesting indeed. I guess another argument is that at 16, do you have the worldly experience beyond mostly school? Do you have the worldly experience to make an informed decision in terms of a vote?
Well, It's an interesting question, and there are many answers, but one thing I would say is that a kind of criteria for worldly experience that's applied to anybody else, any other age cohort? Do other age cohorts have to pass a sort of worldly experience test or a maturity test or a cognitive test? Are older people, for example, when, you know, they start to lose their memory, not all old people, but are they excluded then? So, you know, is that test applied to anybody else? And to answer your question more directly, I think that young people have got the number one, the interest. Many young people are very well informed about what's going on in the world. It's been, the science is now that young people have the cognitive capacity to make good judgments about quite complex issues.
Do people vote on one issue, do you think? I mean, I guess older voters, if you like, do we go into a polling booth thinking this one burning issue is the reason I'm voting for this or that candidate or party, versus a young person who, as I said, climate change as one prime example would be a chief driver for them to vote a certain way. Is that a difference between the ages? Do we as older adults vote because of one big issue, or do we take a broader stance?
I think that's a complex question. Sometimes older people vote on one issue because it's a burning issue and they're mad about it or, you know, interested in it, in the same way that a younger person would. I don't think you can make those sort of generalisations. And also, there are a lot of older people who are concerned about climate change as well. But certainly, climate change is an issue for many young people. And I think it's one in which they've felt, many have felt, sincerely let down by their leaders. And, you know, it's a question also about, you know, whether we do live in a democracy where people who have an interest in particular issues, including like their future, have a right to say and have a right to be represented.
In your view, would you make it compulsory or voluntary for 16-year-olds? I mean, we know that voter turnout for new enrollers, those, you know, 18, 19, is traditionally lower than older age groups. Would you make it compulsory for a 16-year-old in your view?
Well, I think the compulsory question has been an obstacle. I think it has certainly with the 2018 bill for the Labor government, because they were concerned about sort of setting up a two-tiered citizenry where some people were, was compulsory and others it wasn't. And so, you know, that's, in my view, that's being used as an excuse not to move on this particular issue. It should be compulsory, but more broadly, my view is that voting should not generally be compulsory for anybody. But given that it is, there's got to be some consistency. A lot of people are concerned about that because, you know, they will argue that young people will, you know, be penalised and end up in trouble and so on and so forth. There are solutions to this. And we just need to have the political will and interest in sort of overcoming them. And the question is whether young people should be able to vote and whether or not it's going to benefit the community as a whole. And my argument is, and the evidence is, that it will.
Very interesting indeed. Love a good political debate. And yeah, absolutely. On this International Youth Day, no better time to discuss it. Professor Judith Bessant, AM from RMIT University in Melbourne, thank you so much for your time on The King Review today.
Thank you so much, Gavin.